Well, I do want to say Happy New Year, as this is the first day of the new year. I guess we don't, it's not all, every year that we have church service on a on New Year's. So we hope that this is a wonderful start for you for a new year. And this year is going to bring many, many, many blessings to you and your family. We pray that this is a year like no other, that you'll see advancements and blessings, spiritual and in the physical, things that God is doing in your life and wants to do in your life. You will see things come forth and come to fruition in some wonderful ways. We pray that your intimacy with God grows, your relationship with God grows, your time with God, and the ability to even hear his voice. And what is he saying? What is he saying about this year? What is he saying to you? What is he saying to your family? And that God, he already has things in store, but sometimes we just need to really lean into him. And I pray that even in the beginning of this year, you will lean into him and really to open your ears and open your heart to him, to what he has for this year, because it's abundant. It's wonderful. And I think, and it's not only just individually, but I think for the body of Christ, for the church, for the nation, our nation, for this world. God is doing mighty things, whether it's in America, the United States, or whether it's in China, or wherever it may be. You know, God is at work. And sometimes we just need to say, Lord, open our eyes to it. Open our eyes and may we see your work being done. You are very, very good, Lord, and you are doing it. So this morning, I want to speak a little bit about God's work, his church, his body of Christ. Of course, last year we spoke and said sometimes the word church is not very adequate. We really said ecclesia is the real word. Those people called out unto him because Jesus says, I will build my church, right? He says, which is the Greek word is ecclesia, a called out people unto him, unto the Lord. And that's what he says because it's a people unto Christ for his purpose, for his plans, and for him to dwell. Now, Paul speaks to the Athenians in Acts 17:24, and he says, God doesn't need your buildings, right? Because the church is really not the building. It's not the brick and the mortar. I mean, we say, yes, that's the church, and that's right, because in many ways, we learned that in Old English, that when churches were built, that's what they were called. They were called churches. And there was a, the Old English word, I think it was like churchy or something like that. It was an Old English word that was translated now to our church. And so it really kind of referred to the buildings being built. Of course, it was inhabited by the people of God. But truly, ecclesia is a better word to describe the people of God. But in Athens, Paul speaks to the people. And in Acts 17:24, he says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as he needs anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. So Paul was speaking to the Athenians and he was noticing that as he looked around Athens, lots of temples. Lots of gods being served. And of course, a lot of the way of religion is to appease God with your service, your offering, so that God will be pleased with you and he'll do things for you, right? Well, that's a lot of religion, kind of encapsulate much of religion, so that if we just rub God the right way, he'll help us have a good year, right? He'll make the harvest come in. He'll do good things for us. But it's like, well, this is really not the God. Not the God of heaven, not the God of earth, all creation. Because, in fact, God is one who gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Of course, he's specifically saying that God cannot be confined. He cannot be confined in a building, as humans try to do, as he's speaking to the Athenians, that God cannot be confined in just a temple. Instead, God is much beyond that, a God that knows no bounds. There is no bounds to God. Now the scriptures talks about it's God actually, who builds a temple for himself. Now we look at the New Testament, we understand what God builds is not just a building, brick and mortar. He builds something much greater. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 says this, it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. He's speaking to Ephesus, he's speaking to the church. You're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So where does God dwell? Well, not in a building, not in brick and mortar. And we know that we don't just have God when we come to a building, but God is about people, right? The very people he created and breathed life into. But the very people that he gives his Spirit to. So the Lord builds his church, his ecclesia, to be a temple for the indwelling presence of God. Do you know that you were created for the indwelling presence of God? Sometimes it doesn't feel that way, does it? Especially when we ate something bad, we're feeling sick, our body just doesn't feel good. Say, Lord, I was made for your indwelling presence. But if you've experienced the Lord in his presence, you know he is one who comes near. He is one who comes near, and he dwells with his people. So believers, his church, are being built together, united in Christ for his dwelling. And there is something powerful. There is something very powerful about the people of God coming together to worship, to pray, to seek him, to seek his face, to know him. I mean, surely there are lots of gatherings, and you've been in them, I've been in them too, that it didn't seem like there was much unity of the body. There wasn't much coming together for him and for his purposes. I mean, it's true, we could sit in seats in a building called a church and not experience much of God at all. But God's the God of all creation. He's the God who we can experience here today, knowing him intimately. He's also the God that we can experience in our homes or as we drive to work in our car. Wherever we may be, the Lord is there. He's with us, and he wants to talk to us. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to know him and to know his heart. He wants to draw close. And for us to draw close to him. And the Bible says, he says he draws close to those who draw near. He meets with his people. But it does take something on our part. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. And so the work of the church is very important and significant, because in coming together for him, unto him, we can know him more fully. It's important for us to experience the very presence of God in us, but it's also very important for the world around us. For how will people know except that we express the love of God and that we share his word with others, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ? God brings his church together for a greater purpose. He wants you to experience the Lord. He wants you to know that intimacy, but he wants that to go beyond the church. It's like when Pentecost came. It wasn't just for the people who gathered in the upper room to experience the presence of God. Oh, absolutely it was. They experienced tongues of fire and the presence of God in a powerful way. But what was so crucial is that the people on the outside of that building heard what was going on. They heard a clamor. They heard a noise. They heard all these voices. They heard their own language from their nation. It was very important that what was going on in the inside of that room broke outside of that room and into all of Jerusalem. That's where the church began. And the church doesn't and shouldn't stop in the four walls of a building. It never was meant to do. It was never meant to be that. It was meant to go outside. So what we do as the ecclesia of God is very significant. In many ways, it was like Nehemiah, an Old Testament example. Nehemiah, who led the building of the Jerusalem wall. Now, you know, I spoke about Nehemiah last year, and I just can't help get away because there's something about what Nehemiah did, his heart, his attitude, how he approached the leading of God on his heart, how he took on the great task of building the torn down walls of Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem had been sacked. It had been ransacked. They had been exiled. They had been taken away from their land into a foreign land. And the walls of Jerusalem were broken and burned. And Nehemiah, in his heart, he, as an exile in a foreign land, longed to see the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the restoration. And so he set himself in prayer, and God said, yes, absolutely. I put that very desire in your heart. And he was sent. And those walls were rebuilt, and the people were restored to the land. So Nehemiah goes to the leaders. He goes to the leaders of a remnant left in Israel. And in Nehemiah 2, he speaks to these leaders. He says, then I said to them, you see the trouble we're in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. And so it was. The people joined with Nehemiah to build the walls. But it was building for a greater purpose. You see, when God called Nehemiah to lead the building of the walls of Jerusalem, he had a large task at hand. It was a big deal. Could you imagine not having a construction company, not having cranes, not having cement trucks show up? There was a large task at hand. It couldn't be done in one day, and it couldn't be done by one person. Certainly Nehemiah knew that. He had to have buy-in from the people. And they said, yes. Because it was in their heart too. It was in their heart to see the walls rebuilt. So thousands and thousands of committed Israelites joined to work for the same purpose. And Nehemiah gave oversight to the work. And he had to, because not only was it oversight of the work to give planning and organization to it, it was to help keep the focus amidst a lot of distractions. And in fact, a lot of dangers. The people who worked on the wall, their very lives were threatened by those people surrounding neighbors, surrounding groups of people that didn't like the Israelites, did not want to see the Israelites restored, did not want to see a strong Israel. They didn't want that, so they threatened them with death threats. Say, so you build this wall, we'll attack you. And so there had to be a focus. They had to keep the focus. And Nehemiah was so crucial to this, because this was not easy business. But the task at hand was to build the wall. But the wall was not the end goal. That was not the end goal. But there was something that the wall represented that was much greater. And this is important, so I'll repeat it. The wall was not the end goal. The wall was important, but there was a much greater purpose here. The purpose of Jerusalem being reestablished. And for this to happen, the walls had to be rebuilt. Of course, we know and understand at that time, walls meant protection. That you couldn't, that invading nation beside you who wanted to take all your goods and take everything from you couldn't just come into your city and take everything. Walls were important for protection. It was important also for the next steps to be taken. And so for this restoration of Jerusalem, the walls became a symbol. It became a symbol of what God was doing. When the wall would be built, people, Israelites, would come back from exile. They'll come back from other nations. They could come back and they could build their home once again within the walls or around Jerusalem. But those walls gave the way for people to come back. And they did. They started coming back again to Jerusalem and settling the land. They could worship at the temple. They could worship at the temple without fear of being attacked. They could celebrate the festivals once again. And they did. They celebrated the Jewish festivals. And they ultimately recommitted themselves to their covenant with God once again. This is the most important thing. That they became the people of God once again. They reestablished their worship. They reestablished their life in God. And they reestablished the covenant that God had with them. And God wanted them to come back into covenant. See, the walls were crucial towards this goal. They were never the end goal, but really the starting point for the people of Israel to come back together, to be unified as a people, together, working together for one purpose, for one goal. And also, historically, we need to know that part of this reestablishing the covenant was the coming of a king. See, everything would need to be in place for the ultimate king to come. Jerusalem would have to be reestablished for the prophetic words to be true, for God to do what he was going to do hundreds of years later when Jesus comes onto the scene. There had to be the temple, there had to be Jerusalem, and there had to be this act of covenant that was going on. It was God's intention, and the people gave themselves to this work. For Jerusalem would be the center of worship and would be the center of all the events of Jesus' death and resurrection and much of his ministry. And ultimately, it does come back to covenant, where the new covenant would replace the old. When we see a greater picture, we see the greater significance of the walls. Because without the walls, the restoration of Israel would not take place. So many people sacrificed to see those walls built. Each family in their own section. Each family had their own piece to accomplish. And then the next family or the clan beside them would accomplish their piece. And then on and on and on, thousands of people put their hands to work. It's amazing how something big gets done when all the parts work as a whole. I believe it's God's design. And I believe even when he built his church, it's still his design. There's something very powerful in unity of purpose. Something powerful can be accomplished when everyone gives to accomplish something greater than themselves individually or as a family. When we start thinking, I don't exist just for myself and my little space, but there's something greater that God calls me to. There's a greater purpose. There's a greater beyond me, beyond my family. There's something greater to be accomplished. There's something greater that God is doing even in our world today. You know, when I consider the church, I see the importance of people being built together with his purpose in mind. That we have a God mindset to think, Lord, what is your purpose? What do you want to accomplish? How can I be a part of what you're doing in the bigger scheme. You know, we go back to Paul's focus on the corporate body of Christ, that we are for God's dwelling. We are for God's dwelling. And as a church, our purpose is to be a light unto all nations. We're to radiate his presence so that others may know Christ. So our coming together has greater significance for those even not here. Those we've yet to even meet. Those we don't know yet. Those who are not in church today, maybe those who've never been in a church in their whole lives. Those who don't know about a relationship with God. But it doesn't mean that God's not calling. It doesn't mean that God's not working. He is. So what we do as a church matters. It matters greatly, not just for ourselves, but for those we've never met. And when we think about God's ecclesia, we must think about God's kingdom. God's desire, his kingdom to grow. And we pray that in the Lord's Prayer. Lord God, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray that, do we mean it? Because with that prayer, there's an involvement. There's an involvement of his ecclesia. There's an involvement of the church to be involved with the growth of his kingdom. I mean, people have asked to say, well, why doesn't just God do what he's going to do? And, you know, why does he need people? But he chose. He chose that. And part of that goes back to covenant. God makes covenant with people. He makes covenant with us. And believe me, he's done his part and he's doing his part. But sometimes, are we doing ours? Now, when we think about what we want for Messiah Christian Church, we know we want to see this church grow. That's been expressed. We want to see this church grow. We want to see new people coming in, and as we have seen new people coming in this year, and we're delighted. We're excited. Lord, bring more. But not just so that, right, we can grow. Because, right, we want to prosper. We want to go forward in a very healthy way. But we always say, ultimately, why? Why do we want to grow? What do we want to do? Are we just wanting to feel more validated? Or is there something greater involved? And I think our focus is very important in all things. It's very important. Because the most important aspect of looking ahead is not that MCC grows, but that the kingdom grows, so that what we do is always kingdom related. That's very important. And so when people show up, it's not just numbers, but it's people who need Jesus. It's people who need Christ, who need the working of Christ in their lives, whatever transformation they need. Maybe they need to know the Lord. Maybe they need to hear the gospel for the first time. Maybe they just need to grow in their walk with the Lord. Maybe they have children. Maybe they have children who need to be discipled in the Lord, to hear about the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, to experience God's presence, to learn more about what God desires and wants for their lives. There's things to do, but that first and foremost, the kingdom grows. The kingdom is at work. Again, we talk about Nehemiah built the walls, not just to build the walls, but there was a greater purpose, the restoration of Israel. And for the church, our work towards building always has a greater purpose. And that's what we always want to go back to. What is the greater purpose? What is the greater focus? Because that is what helps lead us forward and gives us the focus that we need to have. Whether it's the restoration of the prodigals, strengthening of marriages, the discipleship of generations, the healing of wounds, the work of the gospel. Lives changed. If we try to make it about anything else, we can kind of get lost in the shuffle. And some churches do. Sometimes it can be too much about our name and not his name. And that's what it always needs to be about. Bringing people to Christ. So I don't know about you. I believe there's a greater work to be done. And praise God. I'm praying this not only for our church. I really pray this for kingdom churches all over everywhere, that people get a strong sense of doing God's work. This year, just walking with the Lord, hearing his voice, knowing his heart, and following in obedience to where God wants to lead them. So not just our church, but any and every church, they would have the heart of God. They would know what God's calling them to, and they would go after it with a kingdom purpose in mind. And sometimes we have to look around and see beyond the natural. We have to see by faith. Of course, we can pray, Lord God, how? But I always kind of feel like sometimes God, he has that. How? He has that. He knows. But sometimes it's just the stepping out and seeing beyond the natural. I look back at Nova's prophetic dream last year, and I still hold on to it because I really believe it's coming. Seeing the church with lots of new people in, much more than even probably double the size of this morning. And that's not to be a feather in our cap when God does it, but that we would walk faithfully to see God and say, Lord, we believe you will do it. Now we give ourselves to you for this purpose, for this plan, for those lives to be changed. So I really believe that in that, God says, prepare. Prepare for it. You may not see it with your physical eyes today, but to begin to see it in the spiritual realm, like, Lord, I don't know how, but I believe you will. I don't know what you have faith for. I believe that by this time next year, we could see double the amount of people. Isn't that crazy to believe for 100% growth? That's not something in the natural that you should expect. That really has to be God doing it. But again, it's not just so that Messiah Christian Church becomes a bigger, better church, but that we're serving God's purposes and we're preparing to help people have lives in Christ that are growing and they're stronger and they're abundant and they're blessed. So we have to prepare for growth. We can't think like, well, let's just do what we do for what we have today. We have to think, Lord, what are we to prepare for the future? And how are we to build, to pick up the tools? And they may not be a trowel, and they may not be a brick, but there's a picking up, a taking on, a doing that God's calling us. And I really believe one of the challenges that we have at the beginning of this year is saying, how can we all, everyone, be a part? Because there's each section of the wall. And everybody doing their part, the whole thing is accomplished and is made one whole unified wall. It all comes together. This takes preparation and it takes unity in the body of Christ for one purpose, for his purpose, really. His purpose. So I really believe this is something that we should join together in corporate prayer as the beginning of this new year. I have a few convictions that in praying I felt the Lord putting on my heart. I'm not going to share them all this morning, but there was one I wanted to share, and maybe I'll share others in coming time. But I also believe these are some things that we need to gear and get ready for in the coming future. I'm just going to share out of just kind of my journal as I was journaling some things and some convictions I felt like the Lord putting on my heart or reminding me of. We're called to grow in our structure, our preparedness for growth. Growth is coming, and it is about the kingdom. We're not to grow so people can know Messiah Church more, but we grow because his kingdom is growing. We are here to serve the King. God has people who need to be served and given a place to be planted to grow. Some will come and stay, and some will be blessed in their time here, but they're going. MCC growth is about blessing and transforming lives, not about the survival of a church or its name, but God's kingdom expanding. We should need to prepare to grow. We need to consider those who will be here, though not yet. We can't just wait until they get here to prepare. One huge way to prepare is unity in spirit, in the Spirit of God, and in purpose, in His purpose. There is a spiritual unity that is very important. There's also a growth in systematic preparedness. This is through what I believe is important and something that we've talked about is through teams. Multiple teams that serve in various facets to help us accomplish greater purposes beyond just one person. We want everyone on the team if possible. Teams serve a purpose that are vital, preparing us to reach, serve a growing church, and helps bring unity and purpose to our church. We want to grow in every area of the church. We want to grow in every area. So those are just some thoughts I'd written down. And I really believe it is something that I want to put a challenge before the church and say, we're going to have teams. We do have teams, but we're forming them more fully. I know in the past it's even been asked to be on a team, but we didn't. There was no necessarily, I think COVID happened and just things kind of fell apart. But now in coming in this last year, I kind of see it's like, Lord, there does need to be a preparedness for the future. Us coming together and people, everybody doing their part. So whether, of course, we have the worship team leading worship, or we have media team, people doing things behind the scenes, whether it's an usher greeter, whether it's children's ministry. Do y'all know if we want to have children, we have to have children's ministry, right? So there's a preparedness for not what we have now, we have a few, but preparedness for then. Because I believe it's coming. And so there have to be people prepared to lead, right? No team is one person, because the last time I looked up the definition of team, it's multiple people coming together for a purpose, oftentimes to win a game. But this is going to have a different kind of purpose. The game's already been won. Well, God won that over 2,000 years ago when he defeated death. But our purpose now is to let his kingdom be a part of his kingdom growing here on earth, because the Lord wants every nation, tribe, and people to know him, to know his truth in the gospel. So I believe these are things that we need to pray into for this year and ask yourself, where can I serve? One Sunday a month even, where can I serve? And I love creativity, because if the Lord has put a ministry on your heart, that may be something that others may want to join. So you may want to talk to me about that, or talk to the elders about that. But I really believe we need all hands on deck, so to speak, to be involved, to help out. And I really believe there's growth in every area in what we're doing. Almost a challenge to say, come higher. We've done things a certain way, but as the more people come in, it's really having things in place to say, okay, we're ready for more. We're ready. We're already thinking about discipleship groups that are going to happen and take place. Not because, yes, we need it, but for those also who are not yet here. There are things to do and be accomplished. And so there will be a time where we'll ask, we'll put all the teams very out clearly and say, yes, join a team, or come find out about it, or just ask, or you may already know, because you may in the past said, I wanted to do this, but I didn't know how. Well, that's easy. Just come talk to me or talk to the elder. That's really easy. And we're going to have team leaders that are going to help also train and prepare. What does that team do? What does that team look like? And we want to hear God and what he wants to do, and how he wants to orchestrate this coming year, and all the things that he's looking to do. But I really believe there's things that God wants us to do to prepare. One of the things I did feel was there's some housekeeping things. There's some things that we have to do. So if the call goes out and we need to do some things to get some things done, tidied up, or things that just were projects that never got accomplished, come. Because there's going to be times when we need to accomplish some things and do some housekeeping and move on to prepare ourselves for the next stage. So I think God has something wonderful in store. And I don't believe all the ministry is going to happen inside these walls. I also believe there's just ministry happening outside. And that preparation is in your heart to just share the gospel, to just share the gospel with people, to just let people know about God's goodness. You don't have to be all religious about it, right? But just can share what God's done for you in your life. Because people need to know. People need to know, and we have to get over, and I say this to me, as much as anybody, we have to get over the fear of, oh no, what is somebody gonna say if I mention the name Jesus? Will they run? Will they start screaming? What will they do if I mention the name Jesus? We may be surprised. And I know I've heard testimonies of that weird feeling, but then people being like, wow, I needed to hear that. I needed to hear what you had to share with me for whatever they were going through in their lives. Sometimes we just don't realize the power of the gospel and what people are ready to receive. But I want to pray with you this morning, and I hope you will pray, asking God for his purposes to be accomplished in this year. And of course, I want you to pray and continue to pray, Lord, how am I to serve? How am I to give? How am I to be a part of something greater than myself? And what am I called to do? To see what even the Lord may be saying to you this morning or in coming days. Also, I'm going to put it out there, is that if you would, in the coming weeks, you can certainly join me in this. The challenge out there is to pray and fast in your own time with the Lord, in your own time with God. I know that sometimes when mentioned, people are like, oh no, don't say that word. That's a bad word. But there's a closeness with God that if you have any heart and desire to come closer to God, to hear God's voice, that is one good way, really good way of setting aside time, setting aside a meal, setting aside something that maybe if sacrificial, it doesn't mean you can't eat for days. No. I mean, some people do that kind of fast. Sometimes people get retreats and they go away and they do that. But this could just be simply, I'm not going to eat a croissant for breakfast. I'm going to pray and give time to the Lord, and he'll honor that. I really sometimes believe that we would hear more from God if we would do more things like just setting time aside, things like fasting and praying, just in that simple way, setting one meal aside. I believe you will hear more from God.